This morning we're going to talk about doing life with God and doing life with God when we hit a bump in the road. Do you know what that phrase means? It's the kinds of things that older folks would say. Some of you knew Mr. J.P. Seeley. He might say, we just hit a bump in the road. Some of your parents may have said that, and you yourself may say that. What does it mean to hit a bump in the road? What it means is that things don't go your way. You had planned to date this young lady or this young man, and she decided she liked some other fellow, and it just didn't go your way. And you've hit a bump in the road, and you're kind of a what we might call a sad sack for 2 or 3 weeks or 2 or 3 days, depending upon how quickly you bounce back. You know, you hit a bump in the road. You thought it was going to be this way, and it's not going to be that way. Y'all not going to grow up together and have children one day. She's going off with Billy Bob. You know, it's in a different direction. A bump in the road is you go to work tomorrow, and they're like, you know, we did talk to you about this promotion, but actually we're going to give this over here to Sally, you know, and here you planned and you thought and you kind of dreamed a little bit. It didn't work out the way that you thought it was going to work out. It's a bump in the road. A bump in the road can be a health issue. You were going to retire. You were going to go and get yourself one of those RV things and drive around the country, or at least drive to the beach and the mountains and back, you know, and you were going to do this and do that, and now it's not going to work out that way. Some health issue, or maybe worse, the loss of someone that you care about and love. Bump in the road is when a baby doesn't come when you thought it was going to come, or that baby does come and maybe it's got Down syndrome or it's got some issues that you weren't looking at or expecting. If you live long enough, you're going to have bumps in the road. It's going to happen to you. And I fear a little bit here in the United States, we're trying to rear children to think there are no bumps in the road. That's a lie. You will experience bumps if you live. And really, like this sign says, they are ahead. And so it's good for you to prepare for that. It's good for you to plan for that, to expect that, and to know what to do when a bump comes along in the road of your life. Exodus chapter 32 talks about a bump in the road for the Israelites, and it starts out like this. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron, and they said, up. Make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So Aaron said to them, take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears, and they brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hands, and he fashioned it with a graving tool, and he made a golden calf. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation, saying, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early the next day, and they offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. This is what the Bible says about a group of people who seemingly had everything, but they had a bump in the road and they lost everything after that. I want you to think about that for a minute. What was the bump in the road? Go back to the first verse there. When the people saw that Moses delayed, the bump in the road was nothing but a delay. What's wrong with these people? They had everything. Didn't they have manna that came down from heaven? They didn't have to work. They didn't have to do anything to get it. Didn't quail just come up and they could gather whatever they want? They could eat it. Had not God protected them from the Amalekites? Have we not been reading how God gave them the law that would help them and guide them upon their lives and show them how to live? Had we not been looking at how God gave them a tabernacle and showed, I'm here with you. I've not left you, I've not forsaken you, and all of a sudden there's a delay, and they all of a sudden get off track like this. Let me tell you something. Don't look at these people and say, well, I can't believe they did that, because we do it every day. There are all kinds of young people out there that the right one doesn't come along or doesn't ask them to marry them. And then they go out and they engage in intimacy before they're married with someone. It's kind of a bump in the road, or in this case, it was a delay. And they tried to fix things and they made a mess of it all. There are folks that are like, you know, they should have given me that raise, or they should have given me that promotion. So now I'm just going to take some of this home with me. That's what I'm going to do. I deserve it. They hit a bump in the road and they jump to conclusions, and they have made a terrible, egregious offense against the Lord and against others. Someone, you know, they're trying to reach out. They're acting like 1 Corinthians 13, loving their spouse as they're supposed to do, and they're not reciprocating quickly enough, and so they go out and they fall into the hands or the arms of someone else. All day, every day, somebody hits a bump in the road. It's just a delay, and they jump to conclusions, and they go off into the wrong direction. I say to you this morning, wait for God. Wait for Him. Whether it's someone that you're wanting to ask you to marry you, or it's a job that you're expecting, or it's some sort of health deal you don't quite know how it's going to work out, or this person in this relationship is not quite going your way. Wait for God. Be patient for Him and know that the Lord is looking at what you need and He's going to help you through this bump in the road. Think about what's going on here. God has called Moses up there and He's giving him the law and He's going to go down with the tablets there. It's just a delay. Just wait for a little bit longer. And no, they jump to conclusions because Moses delayed and they spiral down into this mess. Now, how do you know? How do you know that you're handling a bump in the road improperly? You can know this. And you can see it by this verse, how they handled a bump in the road improperly with their attitude initially. Look back at verse 1, and it says real clearly, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, up, make us gods who shall go before us. Now stop there. They got irritated because it wasn't working out fast enough. And so they got together, their little club, their little clique, and they started talking and said, you know, we need ourselves another god. You need to get out of cliques like that. When you see cliques building with ideas that are contrary to the Word of God, you need to go and find yourself another clique. But they got together and they had their little clique and they started talking and saying, you know, Moses not come back fast enough. And look at their attitude toward Moses. It tells you everything. In the middle part, they say, up, make gods who shall go before us. And look at the phrase, as for this Moses. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become to him. Let me tell you something. Be patient and respectful when you hit a bump in the road. And what quickly happens is people turn on those often in authority. They turned on Moses. This man led them across the Red Sea. This man brought them through some bad troubles, and they referred to him as for this man. That is derision. That is disrespect toward Moses. And all the man has done is gone to spend some time with God, and it's God that's delaying here, okay? And so one of the things you can know is when you start having trouble with authority, you're in trouble. You are off track. And you can't listen to this culture of ours and what they say because they've got a problem with authority. And so these Israelites had been around people that had trouble like this in the past, and they had this negative attitude toward Moses, the man God had put in authority over them. Now, I don't know about you, when I read this and I see, as for this man, it jumps out in my mind. I underline that in my Bible, and I say, there's something there. And if you keep on reading and you get to the New Testament, there's a passage in Acts chapter 7. It's when Stephen is about to be stoned to death, all right? And he says to these people that are about to stone him, he says, our fathers refused to obey him. You're refusing to obey, and our fathers refused to obey. And look at the phrasing he uses. But thrust him aside. He's talking about Moses. Our fathers thrust Moses aside. And in their hearts, they returned to Egypt. He nailed it. Of course, he did. It's the Word of God, right? But he nailed that culture, and he nailed ours too. They hit a bump in the road. And so what did they do? They didn't listen. They didn't pay attention to Moses anymore. And they threw him aside, this man who had invested his life in them. They threw him aside. And what did they do? In their hearts, they turned back toward Egypt. So let me be very clear to you. We have a culture that throws aside all the time authority. We have a culture that does some crazy things, gets into the face of law enforcement and yells. They have thrust aside the people that one of those guys gets shot is going to come and help them and risk their lives for them. But they've thrust aside authorities and said, well, you know, some of them aren't that good. I don't like them. And they have disrespected them. And what has happened is their hearts have gone the way of this culture of ours, the way of the culture of Egypt, as Stephen said, or the way of the culture of the devil, you and I may say. Think about some kids and the ways they treat their parents. I will tell you, Mackenzie and Mitchell would not be doing that. Sticking their hand up and saying, I don't want to hear it, Mom. You're going to hear it, honey. You're going to hear it, son. And so many parents these days, though, accept that. But if a child has that kind of attitude toward their parent, I don't want to hear what you got to say. What they have done is thrust aside their parents, gone along with the way of Egypt, as Stephen said, gone along with the way of this world. You hear it all the time with teachers. It would be hard to deal with that. Bless you, teachers, right? Sticking your tongue out at a teacher or acting inappropriately or with insubordination. But when people do that, someone who's given their life and invested their lives in young people, parents do this too sometimes, don't respect the teachers either, and what they're doing is thrusting people aside and they're not paying attention to the authority that is there. If you have those kinds of attitudes, you need not be looking at this passage in Exodus 32 and saying, I can't believe those people built a golden calf, because you built a golden calf in your heart. You are going after other gods. You are going the way of the world. You are not going the way of the Lord. And so what we have to realize is when we hit a bump in the road, don't you lash out at the authorities. Whether they be your boss, whether it be people here at this church, whether it be your parents, whether it be police officers, do not lash out toward them, because that is the wrong direction to go into. It's breaking all the commandments. If you go back and look at what these people did, they immediately begin to break commandments. Look at verse 2. Aaron said to them, take off your rings of gold that are in your ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me. So bring all this gold to me. So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears, and they brought them to Aaron. What are they doing? You shall have no other gods before me. So when we hit a bump in the road, all of a sudden we decide, well, you know, I think I'm going to go my own way. I think I know what it is that I need to do, and we break the commandments. So they broke that commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. I want you to notice the next thing they did. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness or anything that is in heaven above. They're going to break that commandment too. The first and second commandment, just like that, they're breaking here. So look down here, and Aaron says, bring me your gold, and look at verse 3. So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears. They brought them to Aaron, and he received the gold from their hands, and he fashioned it with a graving tool. He just broke verse 4, he just broke the second commandment. He said, and he made a golden calf, and they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Now I want you to go back. These people just got, you know, it's 12 chapters earlier, they just got the Ten Commandments. And what did it say? Don't you make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or that's in earth beneath. That includes cows there on earth beneath, right? Don't make an image like that or that is under the water. You shall not bow down to serve them. And what did he just say? This is the God that delivered you. They're serving them. You shall not bow down to serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. And look at this phrase here. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Is this true? If you take your Bible and you were to turn over to 1 Kings chapter 12, this wicked king Jeroboam said in his heart, now this kingdom will turn back to the house of David. Well, that would be the good thing to do, but he didn't want them to do that.
If this people go up to offer sacrifices in the temple of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn again to their Lord, to Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So the king took counsel and he made two calves of gold. Don't you think that your sin, don't you think that your behaviors do not impact other people, especially parents? They impact from one generation to the next generation. And people look at this and say, what a vindictive God. No, no, no. You ever heard of the cycle of abuse or the cycle of poverty? What happens is people learn from their parents or the lack of impact of their parents. And they learn these lessons and it impacts the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. It's just a psychological fact, but the Lord told you about it a long time ago. So he says, they've gone this way. And what they're doing is they're giving someone else the credit that God deserves. Scroll on down and look at, we'll just put it up on the screen. Give God his due. This cow did not deliver them from Egypt. That is ludicrous. It is crazy that they would say such a thing. But look at verse 5. Aaron saw this. He built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. We're going to make a feast to the Lord. This cow is not your Lord. And they rose up early the next day and they offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and they rose up to play. Here's an artist trying to demonstrate what happened. It looked a lot worse than that, I assure you. It was a terrible thing that happened. And what's even more terrible, if you think about what's going on, the Egyptians had a god, a cow god, believe it or not. They worshiped cows. And so what they have done is fashioned something after this Egyptian god. And think about this. They've been delivered from Egypt. They're giving credit to this Egyptian god. That's what they were delivered from. It's crazy. But that's what happens when people begin to hit a bump in the road and begin to go their own way and their lives are turned in on upon sin. Over in Psalm chapter 106, he says, they made a calf in Horeb and they worshiped a metal image. They exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. I ask you this morning, what are you worshiping? Everyone in this room would say, I'm not worshiping a cow, I promise you that. Oh, I agree. Are you worshiping wealth? Are you worshiping success? Are you worshiping fame? Are you worshiping your parents? Are you worshiping some other person? Are you worshiping your children? Are you worshiping, you're worshiping something. And if it's not God, you've replaced other things with the Lord. Notice here he says they exchanged it. And so anytime something comes between you and the Lord, you have exchanged worship for God for worship for something else. And it's whatever the else is that you're doing. That's what you really worship, you see. And so he says, they exchanged the glory of God. They exchanged what they could have because they hit a bump in the road and they began to worship something else. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says of this, do not be idolaters. So they weren't making golden calves in Paul's day. But he says, do not be an idolater, as some of them were. And he said it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. Now, we may not be dancing around some golden calf, but we're doing a lot of dancing. And you may not literally dance, but in other words, it's all about pleasure, buddy. It's all about what do you want, and you want it right now. We live in a culture that if you're not having a good time, then something's wrong with you, but it's actually the culture that something's wrong with. And so notice that that's what happened to them. They weren't getting to the promised land fast enough. For some, they may not be getting married fast enough, or they may not be having a good enough time quick enough, you see. But you can try to take your shortcut, and you won't ever have a good time. You always chase it, never quite getting there. Never quite getting there. Now, I want you to note God's response. What did God think about this? Look at verse 7. The Lord said to Moses, go down for your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt. They have corrupted themselves. Stop there for a minute. Notice they're not God's people anymore. That's the choice they made. And so you make some choices in your life. You don't want to be this spot where he says, you go and those are your people, buddy. They belong to you. They're not mine.
They don't worship me. They're worshiping a cow down there. They're worshiping other things. They have turned, verse 8, they have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf. Look at the language here. And have worshiped it and sacrificed to it. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Sometimes I think we believe God is visually impaired. He does not see what we do. He does not hear what we say. He's also deaf. You know, he doesn't have any of those abilities. Notice God saw everything they did, and he had a very adverse reaction to it. He has a very adverse reaction to it. The Bible says, he said to Moses, I've seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone. Just give me some space here, Moses. My wrath, let it burn hot against them, that I may consume them in order that I may make a great nation of you. Today, our culture, as theirs, excuses everything. You want to do it? Do it. You've got an inclination. You've got a desire? Do it. Don't you ever forget, God doesn't see it that way. And sometimes he just wants to be left alone. And he's going to say, he says, I want to let my wrath down on these folks. In this case, what happened was Moses came back and he interceded. And boy, did he intercede. Look at verse 11. But Moses implored. So Moses gets this. He's got a strong relationship with the Lord. We're going to talk about that next week. He gets it. And he implored to the Lord. He said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people? Now, fortunately, Moses can't see them dance around the golden calf. So he says, why are you so upset at these people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt? These are your people, God. These are your people, okay? You brought them up out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. Why should the Egyptians say? So here's what's going to happen. If you destroy them, the Egyptians will say, with evil intent did he bring them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from your burning anger and relent from the disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by your own self, and said to them, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised, I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. When you see your child going astray, when you see your friend going astray, when you see your country going astray, what do? You get down and you start praying. If he had not started praying, there might not be an Israel. There might be a Mosesites, you see? So God was pretty upset, and he's like, I'm going to deal with these people. And he immediately saw it. He immediately gets busy, and he starts praying. You see the same thing with Moses or with Paul. Paul said said, I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself would be accursed and cut off for Christ. I would rather go to hell myself than for the Jews to go to hell, he's saying, for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Sometimes we need that same attitude about our friends and our family and our children. I would rather be cut off than to see them cut off. I am praying for them. And sometimes we don't pray like that because we don't realize there really is a hell. There really is this place of eternal damnation that one goes to when they don't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Get busy praying. Fortunately for us, we're still here as well, because Hebrews 7 says, consequently, he, meaning Jesus, is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So when we make a decision we ought to make, when we sin where we ought not to, Jesus is praying for us like Moses prayed for them and like Paul prayed for the Jews. And we need to have that same type of intercessory prayer. Verse 15, it's interesting. It's a good thing God and Moses didn't see it at the same time. Moses delayed reaction. Verse 15, Moses turned. He went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. The tablets that were written on both sides, on the front and on the back, they were written. The tablets were the work of God. In other words, they're a big deal. And the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. But he said, it is not the sound of shouting for victory or the sound of the cry of defeat. He didn't understand it. He'd never been to a party like this before. He said, but it's the sound, it's the sound of the singing that I hear. And as soon as he came near the camp and he saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot. And he threw the tablets out of his hand and he broke them at the foot of the mountain. That is the way we need to react when we see sin. When we have people that we are in control of, children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, friends that we have influence on, we have to be pretty upset when we see sin. And what we tend to say, well, I can't really control what they do. Buddy, if you're their daddy, if you're their mama, you better, or something worse will happen. Look at what Moses does real quickly. He took the calf, verse 20, he's down to business. He's not trying to satisfy their needs or giving them what they want. He took the calf that they had made and he burned it with fire. And he ground it to powder and he scattered it on the water and he made the people of Israel drink it. You ever say a dirty word and your mom wash your mouth out with soap and make you eat soap? I really think it came from this passage. Somebody somewhere saw this and said, all right, boy, you want to speak like that? We're going to wash your mouth out with soap. And it, you know, you ever notice you and I might cuss more. Well, you may not have had your mouth washed out with soap, but I think I would be a little different if my mom hadn't washed me out with soap. So made wash my mouth out with soap. And so as you look at this passage, some people look and say, Moses is very angry. Moses is upset. You need to be upset too when you see people that are under your authority engaged in sin. It's actually worse not to be. Keep going. And notice verse 21. Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you? All right, you're in control. What did these people do to you that you have brought such a great sin upon them? How did you let this happen? Is what he's saying to Aaron. And Aaron said, let not the anger of the Lord burn hot. You know this people, they are set on evil. Well, that's true. For they said to me, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Well, that's true. So I said to them, let any who have gold take it off. That's true. So they gave it to me and threw it into fire, and out came this calf. Well, that's not true. He lied. You ever confronted somebody and they lied? Look at how Moses dealt with this lie. Verse 25, when Moses saw the people had broken loose, in other words, they were out of control, they were doing whatever they wanted to do. And they had derision for their enemies. Moses stood in the gate of the camp and he said, who's on the Lord's side? Come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered around him. They're like, uh-oh, this is not good. They started coming. And he said to them, thus says the Lord God of hosts, put your sword on the side of each one of you. Go to and fro from the gates, from gate to gate throughout the camp, and each of you kill his brother and his companion and his neighbor. And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And that day, about 3,000 men, the people fell. 3,000 people died. That's what you call accountability. You're a parent. You don't hold your kids accountable. You will stand before the Lord God one day and you'll answer that question Aaron answered to Moses right there. What was wrong with you? And you'll give a lame excuse about like that, and it ain't going to cut it. It will not cut it. Because I want you to notice Moses did not say, oh, well, that's interesting. He walked right past him. He said, all right, guys, who's on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? And 3,000 people died that day. Folks, just because it doesn't happen immediate doesn't mean it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. And so we live in a culture that everything's okay, everything's cool. It isn't cool with God. I'm speaking especially to parents. You hold your kids accountable or God will. And that may mean a short life or eternity in hell. Deal with them. Hold them accountable. You got a friend going astray? You confront them, because one day you'll be Aaron if you don't, and God will hold you accountable. Why did he break those tablets? Why did he do that? You have broken your covenant with God. That's what that means. You have broken your covenant with God. It is over. That's what that meant. And then notice he comes back in verse 29 Today you have been ordained for the service of the Lord, each one at the cost of his son and his brother. What you've done has impacted your sons, has impacted your daughters. It has not just impacted you. It impacts everybody. Your sin costs everyone. Each one at the cost of his son and his brother, so that he might bestow a blessing upon you this day. Now, there's a lot into that breaking of the commandments. If we had time, we would talk more about that. But basically, it's also showing you can't keep it on your own. You can't do this on your own. And it was pointing to how the Lord would come and he would keep the commandments for us one day. One day he would come and he would die for our sins, and it's like we fall short. We've broken our covenant with the Lord. We've broken faith with him, but the Lord has upheld his end, and he's upheld it even though we've broken the covenant with him. And so this morning we think about ourselves and we're reminded of how we all fall short. We're reminded how we're all not what we ought to be. There's an answer for that. It's called repentance. Lord Jesus, forgive me for what I have done. Forgive me of what I haven't done in some cases. Help me to follow you with all that I am, with all that I have, Lord. And so this morning I ask you to do that. The song we sang a moment ago talked is where sin is greater, grace is more, grace abounds more. And so God gave them grace in this situation. He listened to Moses. He would listen somewhat to Paul. He listens to the Lord Jesus as he intercedes on our behalf. Embrace him. Follow him. And do your best to teach others to do so as well. Father, we thank you for what we've been able to see this morning. Lord, we ask that you'll help us to hold others accountable, Lord. Help us to hold each other accountable and help us to be the folks we ought to be. Help us not to go astray so quickly, Lord, when we hit a bump in the road, but help us, Lord, to embrace you and to turn to you, Lord, in our sin. Father, forgive us, Lord, of how we have sinned, of how we've fallen short. We all do. And help us to remember, though, Lord, because of what you've done, we can have a relationship with you. We can have forgiveness in you, and help us to turn to you. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. What will you do with this message this morning? Maybe this morning you ask the Lord to come into your life for the first time to forgive you of your sins. Maybe this morning you commit to the Lord. Well, there's not going to be other things getting between me and you. There's not going to be other people with other things getting between me and you. Maybe you commit to confronting folks that are going astray. Lord, I will not allow my children, I will not allow my nephews, my grandchildren to go astray. You know what you need to do. Do it now, right there where you sit. Pray those prayers of commitments. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. Help us, Lord, to be what you called us to be. Help us, Lord, to be the people you want us to be. In your name we pray and we ask these things. Amen.